It's gadget and technology time. Fevzi Turkalp, the gadget detective, is here. Why not find him on Twitter at Gadget Detective or listen to his podcasts for free? Gadgetdetective.com, available on Alexa. That name we don't say. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and so on. How are you doing, old chum?
I'm very well, thank you. You know, I once hiccuped through a 3-hour radio show.
Did you?
It was hell, yes. Was it the fact that I started to
mention a word we don't say on air and stopped halfway through that made you think of hiccups there? Is that why
yes,
you just said that?
Yes, it was. Yes,
right,
yes.
Okay. My producer tells me that you're tucking into cake at the moment. And
I am disciplined. I'm a professional. Right. I will wait till this is finished. And right. Then there is a giant chocolate cake waiting downstairs. Oh, and your producer asked me why I was going to have the chocolate cake, and I explained that I'd finished off the carrot cake yesterday.
Right. Well, can I say, there are two of us here who don't have any cake or any way of getting any cake. It's very nice of you to mention that you're about to feast on cake. We really love you for that, Fevzi. Thank you.
I will send it down the ISDN line straight.
if only it were so. Now then, we start with the story of the week, and it's, my word, it could hardly be a more serious one, could it? This is... One of the huge internet companies setting out its stall, saying it will resist any government that wants it to make a change. Do tell us more.
Okay, so there's a piece of legislation under consideration at the moment, although currently delayed until the autumn, called the Online Safety Bill. It was previously known as the Online Harms Bill, and it's designed ostensibly to address a number of safety and security issues for people that use the internet. And part of that appears that it may be that they're going to try and require companies such as WhatsApp and various other messaging apps to unencrypt their messages. So at the moment, the way that the WhatsApp messages work is that they have what's called end-to-end encryption. Mm-hmm. So if I send you a message, just before the message leaves my device, obviously it's unencrypted on my device, otherwise I wouldn't be able to see it and create it. It gets scrambled, that's to say encrypted. Mm-hmm. It flies through the ether and it lands on your device where you have the key that unscrambles it. So only you have the key. I and you have the key. The WhatsApp and in this case the government and anybody else do not have the key. So if the government goes to WhatsApp or whichever service it is and says, we'd like to see the contents of those messages, please, WhatsApp will be able to say, we don't have access to it, we can't provide it. This is a difficult problem. The government is saying...
You can see straight away both sides of this argument, can't you? Yeah.
Yes, you can, although I must say at the end of this, I come down firmly on one side, and I'll try and explain why. Hmm. What the government is asking for is the ability to do mass surveillance. It's not just the ability to hack into someone's phone and look at their messages, which they always have had that capability to do, and they still have that capability to do, but they want to do, or they want the ability to do, what the NSA was caught doing, and was, you know, Edward Snowden, that's what all that was about, that the NSA was caught doing mass surveillance on American citizens, and it was deemed to be unconstitutional. Yes. Because, you know, normally if in the sort of traditional world, if the police want a search warrant, they have to show cause. They can't just ask for a warrant. It would be the equivalent, if you go back a few years when we all used to send letters through the Royal Mail, it would be the equivalent of the government having the ability to steam open every envelope in transit, read it, copy it, keep it forever, reseal it, and send it on its way without you knowing that it had been tampered with. Right. Whereas... what we want is the ability where they have cause to attack someone's devices, either to get their devices through a search warrant or to infect their devices through what's called a spear phishing attack. So just like hackers can hack individuals of particular interest, you can target them, make them, you know, trick them into clicking a link and download software onto their devices. You know, you can still do it in that way, but what they lose is the ability to do mass surveillance.
Could there ever be a case for, in inverted commas, mass surveillance if there's a huge paedophile ring or something? You know, would that not come under mass surveillance even then?
You know,
it's all about terminology.
I tell you what swings it for me is this. Without the ability for citizens to communicate with the expectation of privacy, there can be no democracy. There can be no criticism of governments. There can be no organisation of political parties or strikes or trade unions or anything like that. The government has the ability to oppress. And we have seen governments around the world that we thought were stable democracies becoming destabilised. And we cannot... Yeah. I don't think we can be so trustful. We see that even if the government is good... We know that the government's databases and systems come under hacking attacks all the time. I'll give you an analogy. Some decades ago, when the American telephone system was being renewed, the American government had the companies put a backdoor into these companies so that they could bug phone calls without literally having to tap wires. You know, it was meant to be the great thing. The first thing that happened was the Chinese hacked it. And I don't believe, and no one has demonstrated, that you can have a system that where you can have a backdoor for the government which then can't be found and used by third parties and bad actors. The only other argument I'd make to you is this: even when the messages are encrypted, everyone still has access, the government still has access to the metadata. They can see who is messaging who is calling whom, when, what each of their locations are, what the duration of those calls are. You can't see the contents of the call or the message, but that actually tells you a lot. So where you have caught one person, you can still identify the members of the ring. If, however, you put a back door into these systems, what will happen is anyone with half a brain who wishes to do something that they don't want the government to see will move off WhatsApp and into the dark web areas where, you know, then they're hardly even known about, much less regulated.
Right. And counterproductive, in your view, it will actually
be counterproductive, because you'll even lose the metadata, which is actually much more powerful than people realise. The ability to see how, when and where people communicate. You know, if you want to put it together, you can see who's got cancer, who's having an affair, who's going for a job interview. You can actually tell a lot about people without looking into the actual messages, just by looking at the metadata. And you would lose that if you made these changes. And finally, it never ceases to amaze me that every time a government wants to do something which removes some of our rights, they quote the children. And of course, children are important. But, you know, I would imagine the majority of paedophiles are already not using WhatsApp because they're not sure that there isn't a back hole in it. So I just think it will be counterproductive, and that our privacy and our democracy underpins everything else, including child safety.
One final thought. Is this argument perhaps, though, academic anyway, i.e. are companies like WhatsApp so big and so powerful that governments can suggest they do whatever they like and they will say, as in this case, no, we're not going to do it. So that's the end of that story anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think any government who tried to introduce legislation which led to WhatsApp being removed from the UK would probably topple. WhatsApp is so integral to people's lives.
So embedded now, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I will not use WhatsApp, because the irony is I won't use WhatsApp because I know what the owners of WhatsApp, Facebook/Meta do with that data. So even though they may not let other parties hack it, they use the data in ways that I don't approve of, and therefore I won't use it. And so I know personally what an encumbrance it is, what a difficult situation it is not to have WhatsApp when everyone else is using it. If you tried to remove WhatsApp from the British public, I honestly feel that would be a vote loser.
Right. On to gadgets, two of them of the week, starting with a massager.
Yes, I like this. So, do you remember when we talked about the temperature-controlled coffee mug from Ember?
More than
and
once.
It was, yeah, exactly. And it was, I know. Actually, I might have one of those with the cake. Now, I know, I can't help that. This is one of those devices that actually you think, you know, it's a bit decadent, it's a bit opulent, but actually it's really nice. So this is called the Homedics Shiatsu 2-in-1 Massager. Homedics is a brand. Mm-hmm. And it looks a bit like a car seat. So this is something that you attach to a chair or if you can get it around the cushions to an armchair or a sofa even, or an office chair. So it's got a back unit, it's got a headrest rather like a car seat, and it's got a seat. The seat is rather thin, but the back unit is sculpted a bit like a racing car seat.
It's right. Sort
of comes a bit round you. And it has motors in it that massage you, in short. I mean, it's very clever. It has these devices in it. They're kind of like, imagine like a ball or a closed fist rotating. And you've got a remote control, which is a wired remote control, where you can set it just to do the neck, the upper back, the lower back, the whole back. Even vibrates in the seat as well. And it can do different types. So it can do, it simulates sort of deep kneading shiatsu massage, or the gentle rolling massage, which is like with the palms of the hands, or even the sort of chop chop vibration type massage as well. So it will do all of those. It's got some unexpected tricks up its sleeve. First of all, it has a heat function. It can heat itself up in about 3 minutes to about 30 degrees. So, you know, one of the nice things, I get a lot of sort of stiff muscles. I sit at a desk a lot, you know, typing still, and I get, you know, pain in my shoulders and neck and so forth. So the heat is a really nice element to it. The second nice thing is that the headrest unit can be removed and has a rechargeable battery in it. So then it can, you don't have to have the rest of the gubbins. You could just lie down on your bed and put it under your neck, put it under your knees, under your calves, you know, use it.
Good
use
idea.
It as it, it'll run for about an hour off the battery, which is, I think, you know, pretty good. And that's why it's described as a two-in-one massager, because the head unit is completely removable and works without mains cables or anything like that. So all in all, rather nice. I like the heat function. I like the separability of the head. I like the fact that you can do spot massage, so you can use a remote control, which has got a ton of buttons on it. I mean, it's quite daunting when you see it, but actually quite easy to use. You can actually just tell it which part of your back or body that you need to concentrate on. Yeah, so it works good. Now, list price on this is £300. I saw on the Homedics website that it was £250 on offer. I also saw that when I logged into it, it said for the first time offer, you can get first time purchase, you can get 15% off. So that could bring it down to about £212, which I think is, you know, potentially fair. One thing I would say to you about these sorts of devices is check wherever you buy it from that the returns policy allows you to try it and then return it if you need to. You know, your legal rights sometimes limit you to returning things in brand new condition, often unopened. So
makeup and underwear, you know, being the classics, of course.
Well, yes, but you see, consumer rights were reduced somewhat a few years ago, and it used to be that anything that you bought remotely you could return after, I think it was up to 30 days as a legal right. Companies like, for example, Amazon still give you that right, not because it's required by law, but because it's their decision to offer you that. So you can use an item with them for 30 days and then return it, or within the 30 days. But you should be careful, because something like this is very subjective. You can't go by specs. Some people say, oh no, you know, but by the time they say, oh no, they've unpacked it, they've used it at least once, and some retailers will not take them back. So you just have to be very careful. Just really read the policies really carefully before you make a purchase of any item, really, but particularly things like this, which are very personal items.
Okay.
Moving
rating?
On to gadget. Oh, sorry, I'm so sorry. Rating 4 stars out of 5. Based on the reduced price of about £212.
Now, talking of moving on, would your second gadget by any chance keep until next week, which would give you a bit less work to do? Because, as always, we have more to say than there is time to say it in.
That's all right. My cake beckons. It's fine.
That's right. Get one more cake dig in. Why don't you? I don't know why we have him on. Fevzi Turkout, the gadget detective, gadgetdetective.com, if you want to see or hear rather his podcasts for free.